Get Talent Podcast.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Get Talent Podcast, episode 34. We are talking about contracts and recruitment. I'm your host, Ben Cross, joined by our illustrious co-host, Danny Herskowitz, our director of talent over at Glomo. What's up, Danny? How you doing?
Good. As John Svara likes to say, let's Glomo. Right?
Let's Glomo. Yo, what's up, John? Shout out to John Svara. Big fan of Glomo. We appreciate you.
Yeah, thanks, John.
We're talking about recruitment contracts today. And I guess really a lot of these principles also go for other types of contracts as well. But really, we're attacking this from a recruitment angle. So, Danny, why is this topic so topical today?
Every podcast we do is usually something that we're going through. That's the easiest for us to usually talk about. We're most passionate about it. We're learning about it. So we've been doing, you know, fortunately, signing a lot of contracts. And, negotiating those as well. So we wanted to talk about how we approach contracts and try to help people in understanding kind of our approach on that and how they can work in the best way possible with their recruiter on that.
Yeah, we've been sending out a lot of contracts lately. This year, because of the shift in the market, we're doing a lot more sales and strategic level roles, which are more kind of onesie twosie relationships where we have a lot of contracts flying around. And it's really made us think and even, frankly, reevaluate some of the ways that we've been doing contracts here. Basically, we have a philosophy at Glomo about contracts. And I don't know if it's right or wrong, but it's just kind of the way we did it. We like to have contracts that fit on one page. We get a little pushback on this sometimes. But, I mean, the thought process is, if you can't say it succinctly, if you can't say it quickly, if you can't say it on one page, maybe it's overly complex. Maybe you need to provide for a lot of what ifs. Maybe there's a lack of trust in the relationship. You know, we really like to do business with people we trust. And frankly, that one-page contract is kind of our indication of that philosophy.
You know, when I came over to the company and you showed me the way that you write your contracts, even I was like surprised. I was like, oh, this doesn't seem right. There's not enough information here. But the more I've started to use it, you can see our clients, they understand it. It's very clear. And it's honestly simple. You know, I don't mean that in a...
No, it is simple.
Clear. It's very clear. And it's, you know, sometimes you read through these contracts like we are now, and it's, you don't even know what the words mean, right? You know, they're the same words usually, indemnification or some other words. And you get lost a little bit. You start to get even, I find you get a little bit maybe defensive, and it kind of brings up these feelings of like distrust. So I totally agree with you on this, you know, as I'm.
Yeah, it's like handing somebody a prenup, right? It's like we're going to get married on this talent acquisition journey.
Yeah.
Right here, first sign this saying that, you know, when I sue you, it's going to go down.
Exactly.
It's like,
exactly.
That was a pretty bad way to start a conversation, you know?
Right, right.
So that's the one thing. I mean, and we've had clients who like push back on it. And I'm like, well, we got something more complicated, send it to us. And if it works for us, we'll sign it, you know? Mm-hmm. But if you want us to do the heavy lifting, it's going to look like this. So we try to keep it real simple. I feel like there's a lot of gaps left in those contracts, and it's kind of done on purpose because trust fills the void.
Right. The things you don't actually have written, the unspoken things, right? Those are the things that, you know.
You know what? And so where a lot of contracts will say, okay, if I sue you, it's going to be done under the law of Texas at a court here, and you must appear here at this venue, or we agree to go to arbitration before we sue one another.
Yeah.
You know what we do? I mean, if we have a dispute, I just say, what do you think is fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think we negotiate and we get our fair market value. We charge, you know, what I would consider to be above market rates for our services. I think we're a premium brand. I think we do a better job than other recruitment firms, if I'm being honest, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we charge. That's why we charge more. We're really quick. We're really good. But if we have a dispute or something, I just go to the person and say, what do you think is fair? And they, you know what? To be honest with you, you know what's funny when I say, what do you think is fair?
What's that?
People take off their hat that they've been wearing. Like, I'm trying to get the best deal. I'm trying to get the best deal. And they literally put on a compromise hat. And they say, okay, I understand you to be here. We're over here. I think fair is somewhere in here.
Yeah.
And I love those relationships.
Yeah.
And then if somebody chooses not to put on the compromise hat and they just say, fair is what I said in the first place. Okay, we'll take it. Just realize you're not going to be our favorite client.
Yeah, it's a partnership, right? We try to be as easy as possible with our contracts and all this stuff. So that's a great sign when someone is, you know, aligned with that, right? They're like, okay, this is simple, straightforward, great. Yeah. Let's just do it. Let's start finding people.
Well, let's talk about some of these key elements here.
Yeah, tell everyone about like the structure of how it works. What are like the key things that we put in there?
So there's really some key components. There's how much is the fee? What is the fee percentage? The second thing that people look at is what is the guarantee or replacement period?
Mm-hmm. It's a big one. Yep.
Yep. The third thing that people focus on, our clients focus on, is the non-solicitation aspect. Things that we focus on as a provider are the payment terms, because cash flow is important. Somebody once told me, they said, revenue is vanity, profit is sanity, cash is reality. And the last thing is the commencement fee.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about those five elements, okay? Did I miss any?
I think you got it. No, I think that's perfect. Let's kind of break those down. I mean, let's start with the commencement fee. You mentioned that at the end, right? Let's start with that first.
Yeah, I mean, commencement fee in the beginning, right?
In the beginning, right. So why do we do that? Why do we do a commencement fee?
That's a really good question, because some recruitment companies don't do commencement fees.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
They'll take the job on a speculative basis, mm-hmm. right? And some firms out there will like to use multiple recruitment agencies. It's really important if you have a quality recruiting agency partner that you give them exclusivity to work on the role, okay? The number one thing, though, that indicates exclusivity and commitment is a commencement fee. So a commencement fee tells us that you are serious about hiring this role, that you are committed to it, and that you're serious about us as the partner that's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know, when we get a commencement fee on a role, to be honest with you, I feel a little guilty.
Yeah.
If I take your money, I feel like you put so much trust and faith in me that I'm going to be falling over myself to try to repay that trust and repay that investment. The other thing about commencement fees that's important is it's not in addition to the fee. It's actually coming off of the fee.
It's an important one. Yeah.
It's important, right? So if you get a commencement fee or a retainer of, say, $5,000 up front, some firms do a third, a third, a third. Some firms do half up front. Ours is $5,000. We feel like it's a number that's significant enough to be important to someone, but not burdensome, let's say, as a third or half.
Yeah.
Kind of a sweet spot works for us.
Yeah, it's so funny because like when we were talking about retainers, and I said that word scares me. And that's because of the obligation you feel to the person, like you were saying. And that's a really good thing as a recruiter, because every day when I'm waking up, I'm thinking about the fact that I owe that person something.
Yes.
I wake up
feeling like I owe them.
I still owe you. And it's very uncomfortable, but that's what drives you to do your best work. That's what it is, you know?
If I didn't have that commencement fee and the search got really tough, and then all of a sudden I got like three other searches that came in.
Yeah.
Were hot, and I'd been working on that search for a couple weeks, you know, and I wasn't really getting the traction. I might be inclined to just say, well, I don't have a commencement fee. I'm a retainer. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I'll just
get in the game.
I'll go work on these other brand new shiny objects over here. But that role is still available, still open, it still needs to be filled at the client's company. So they don't have the luxury of walking away from that role and not filling it and focusing on it.
Yeah.
So it creates a cycle.
Yes.
Where now I'm not going to focus on because something new, bright and shiny came up because I didn't have a commencement fee or a retainer on it. That role's still open over there. So what does the firm do? What does the hiring firm do? They go out and find another recruitment firm, right?
Then they start all over again, right?
And now they've got two, three recruitment firms working on the same search. And none of them are committed to the search. So do we work on searches without a commencement fee? Yeah, occasionally. For our large enterprise customers, yeah, sure. But we generally get commencement fees on more than 50% of our searches because we want to work with partners who are committed to us. And we know also, here's the other flip side of that, Danny, I have to know that this job is going to get hired through us because we're only working on 4 jobs per recruiter. So if I give you a job, Danny, and I take up 25% of your bandwidth with this requisition and this search, I need to make sure that that search is going to come to fruition, that they're actually going to hire.
A lot of recruitment firms will take on searches knowing that they won't necessarily fill them. And I've never felt right about that. And I think the commencement fee really like establishes that. And it also, from a client's perspective, whenever you pay for something yourself, automatically you get that accountability. Just paying for something just pushes you and it motivates them to be just as invested in the success of the hire.
Mary Lee says, what type of terms do you include on late payments on invoices so you have incentives to get invoices paid timely and you are getting invoices paid and cleared for maintaining cash flow? Ooh, you know what? This is a great segue into our next one, which is our payment terms.
Exactly.
So payment terms are one of the most important things for the recruitment agency, because obviously cash flow is key, as Stefan Kalpan, the CEO of Lux Relo. It also shows that you respect us. Goes back to the partnership. Shows that you value us. Mary Lee, I'll be honest with you. Our terms are net 15. We do not include like a payment penalty. We were extremely fortunate in getting paid in a timely manner. Sometimes we get paid early. And I'll tell you why. It's because of the relationship we have.
Yeah, that's a big trust, right? When you don't put that in there for penalizing someone for, you know, if you told a friend, right? Like, it's not a good relationship, you know?
You know what's funny? The clients that stretch you on days are the ones that care about small percentages. Because they're looking at finance charges. They're looking at the cost of money, et cetera. So Mary Lee, your question is extraordinary.
Yeah.
And I think it's something I'd consider. Let's talk about the percentage.
Mm-hmm.
This is the elephant in the room.
This is the one that everyone asks first, right? That's the first question we get from our clients.
What's your percentage? How's this work? What's your percentage?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you feel when they ask, what's your percentage?
To me, when they ask that question, I'll be honest. Now, you know, when I first started, I was hesitant because it's always harder to make that change. You feel bad. You're like, I don't want to charge people more. I mean, am I taking? But you know what? I got to say, the value that we do provide after, you know, doing this for 2 years now, I believe in that 25%. I really do, because it's worked. Because we've worked with our clients at that rate. The majority of them are very happy with the work that we've done. So I feel very confident to ask for that rate.
Yeah. There's things that have happened in the macroeconomic environment where markets have changed and shifted, where all of a sudden now that company was doing amazing for 50 years in this market over here. And now due to some contracting things, or, you know, the military business has gone away or something else has happened, their whole existence is in question. A family business with three generations of family that have run that business. And then something's come along outside of their control that's just upended everything. Mm-hmm. And they call us and they're desperate to find somebody. And we're able to do that. And that, I mean, you don't put a price on the legacy of your family's business. Anyway, I bring that up.
Great point.
I think it's important to understand how important these candidates are.
Yeah, it hurts in the beginning, I'm sure, right? Like that first time you pay that fee. But then you know what? You're happy to do it a few weeks in, because you're like, you know what? This was like the best money I've ever spent. This is, like you said, it's going to save my business. And then the next search, it's almost like it might be hard at that first one, right? That first time you're working with a recruiter. By the second one, you're like, this is great.
Just lost you in business. Yeah, you're right. The second one, third one, because now you've seen how fast they pay for themselves. So yeah. I'll just tell everybody, I'm a CEO of a company too, right? So I own a recruitment firm.
Yeah.
So I'm talking as a recruiter, but I'm also the CEO of a firm, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I currently pay $15,000 per recruiter as a fee to have a recruiter find recruiters.
Which is surprising to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's surprising to me sometimes. But I tell you what, man, those people on their second, by their second placement, have paid that back. All right. Let's talk a little bit about, replacement period. This one's gotten funny. This one has come up more and more lately as the replacement period. Explain to people what the period replacement guarantee is.
So what we do is a 60-day replacement period. So if something doesn't work out with the candidate that we place within 60 days, we offer a one-time replacement candidate at our cost.
Yeah, at our expense, right? And so, but now this could take different forms, right? So we go in and we're bringing on new clients all the time. So they're always bringing these like different kind of concepts of what they view to be fair. Some things we've seen are people want a refund if it doesn't work out. And I'm just like, what? How am I supposed, you know, it didn't work for us. And that's what I told him. I said, how am I supposed to pay a commission to a salesperson next month?
That's such a great point. You know, I once signed a contract like that. I put together a contract that I didn't like the whole time. I was very uncomfortable.
So why'd you do it?
You know what? I was so excited to work with the client, and I don't think I valued myself the way I do now. And I wasn't comfortable.
What happened with the client?
Well, not working with them anymore. So
why not?
It turned out to be a bad relationship. It just didn't work out. We weren't on the same page. You know, there was lack of
trust. Why was the relationship? Yeah.
Lack of trust. I think I went into it signing something that I wasn't comfortable with. So that was on me for not saying anything, to be honest. But, you know, I think there's comes a certain point where things are out of our control. You know, I always say to people, our job is to find that talent. But at a certain point, the retention doesn't become our responsibility because there's really not much we can control after that, aside from checking in with the client and the candidate to make sure that they're happy.
100% correct. And I love what you said there about, you know, it becomes their responsibility, right? Because how long does it take you to know somebody's not working?
I think within a few weeks.
How long does it take you to know they're a total weirdo, sketchball?
Yeah, totally.
And the other thing about it is we do a replacement fee. We do a one-time replacement. Why do we do a one-time replacement? Why was it important that we specify one time?
It's important because what happens is you get into a really difficult situation that it's really bad for the recruiter and the client when you have to continually replace that person. So if there's an unlimited amount of replacements that we can offer, that caused a lot of tension because one time I actually had to refill position four times.
Times the same position?
The same position. It was a nightmare, but not only for me, for the client. You know, at a certain point, they're like, this is, you know, you kind of say, this is not working, right? After the fourth time.
Why did you have to replace the same position four times?
Because my contract did not have the one-time replacement language on there. Didn't say one time. Simple as that. When I came and we started working together, you're like, well, let's just add in that one time, you know? And that was a big moment.
I said to you, Danny Herskowitz, I will never make you replace a job.
Exactly. You did say that.
Okay.
Say that.
I care about you as a person.
You did.
And I said, furthermore, any company that goes through four or five, is technically five different people in that role in the span of how long, Danny?
It was in like 6 months, maybe.
Five different people sat in that seat and
probably within a six month
period.
5-6 month period. Pretty crazy.
What does that tell you about that client?
Probably not great if people are leaving that quickly.
Yeah.
Sounds like there's a lack of support, potentially.
Honestly, the strategy of the company, like that's probably just like a role that doesn't even make sense.
Mm, that's right. So the person we're putting in there can't even do the job. They don't even exist.
Yeah. And frankly, honestly, our brand is way too good to stick people in that role.
Yeah.
Let's see here. What else we got here? Oh, non-solicitation. This is interesting.
It means that we essentially can't take or recruit employees from the company that we're working with. Or that we're engaged with.
Seems straightforward. What are some of the different ways that this is expressed in a contract?
There's a few different ways. I mean, what we do is 3 months after the last placement that we've made, which has worked really well.
Yeah, and I want to be clear too about that because some people say like during the term of this agreement, well, our agreement is evergreen; it goes on forever, right? Mm-hmm. So it goes on forever, but at some point we stop working together. You know, the client stops having needs, stops sending candidates.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you're explaining this because this is the key, right? It's when you, just to give kind of a closing tip, when you speak with your recruiter, make sure to ask us why we're doing what we're doing. Because if they don't have a good answer for that, then that's a red flag. I think everything you're saying is logical and it's in the benefit of both the client and us as well. Or the recruiter. So that's great.
It's fair. And fair for one, it's got to be fair for both or it's not fair. Trust. And I mean, it's like really being open and honest with one another about what your strategy is. We talk to our clients about who their clients are, you know, what their revenue and profitability is, some of the inter-office kind of politics. And
yeah,
we get in all of it.
Yeah.
We immerse ourselves in your company situation. And that's how we're really able to make those culture fits. So it has to be trust where you have to like be willing to like let us in.
It's number one for sure.
Number one. And then the second thing is, I hate this word, Danny. Hate it. But I'm going to use it.
What's that word?
Communication. I hate this word because I don't know what it means. So I'm going to define it.
Okay.
Communication. We need to be on weekly calls saying, these are our accountability calls. We're accountable to you to bring you great candidates.
Yeah.
You're accountable to us.
Yeah.
Interview them and give us feedback.
Yeah, exactly. I'll add one thing, consistent communication.
So those are really the two things, trust and communication. I mean, can we be more generic?
There's nothing better than working with a client and a candidate that you're on the same page with. There's really nothing better. That's what makes this job so much fun. Let's just
that
be honest.
That fit is like going to a wedding, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, like this amazing,
yes,
this amazing person has found,
yeah,
this amazing person.
Yes.
And now they're standing up there, you know, and they're,
yeah,
about to make it happen. And you're,
yeah,
like, ah, I see beautiful things. And
that's what it's all about.
Love it, Danny. Hey, awesome. Hit that like button if you're on LinkedIn. If you are listening to this, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, anywhere you listen to podcasts. This will be up.
It's great. Yeah, I love doing this live. Thanks to everyone who commented. Really appreciate this. It's so cool to get that interaction. So,
and if you've got topics or questions or things you want to hear about from a talent recruitment standpoint, you know, please DM us, follow us on,
yeah,
LinkedIn. Let us know what you think.
We always need more topics. So, yeah.
Sounds good, y'all. Catch you next week.
Take care, guys.